Thank you, Barbara. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful. Good morning, all. Dangerous thing to talk about food. You know, that comes up after worship, and so. But I found out an interesting fact. They don't have very many Middle Eastern restaurants in Canada. Apparently, there's a hesitance, a northern hummus fear. Northern hemisphere. By way of announcements, on the back of the bulletin, you see some of the things going on. We are shifting into our summer. The office hours have not changed, although Paya and the pastor might be a little more harebrained and less competent. But we are hanging in there as best we can, and with your help, we're glad. Debbie Gunther is sitting right on the edge of her seat. Now, my bet is she has an announcement this morning. Debbie Gunther, our mission coordinator. Thank you.
Good morning. The crop fundraiser this month is June 13th at Legends Bar and Grill. It'll be from 11, I think it says 11 to 11, and that's on Iliff. Thank you.
Thank you. Other things, announcements for the good of the order? I want to acknowledge, as I often do, Richard Schneer has been busy. We've had various plumbing issues that go on, so he's a plumber, your go-to plumber in the church. We've had various sprinkler things going on, and he's been helping coordinate and fix all of those, so he's your go-to sprinkler guy. He's just a pretty handy fellow to have around, and we appreciate him immensely. So we give you thanks, Richard, for your good hard work. And of course, there are a lot of other unsungs, the keepers of the flowers and all those who do that, Helen and Diana and everybody, that you know who you are, and we're grateful. But everybody contributes. I don't know if you saw Stephanie scoot up here a minute ago. She was holding something up and measuring something to fit on the front of the pulpit. You know that Vacation Bible School is coming up. She's preparing for that, and so I think it's a bit of her transforming of our sanctuary for Vacation Bible School. Have any of you been able to see or participate in Vacation Bible School and come down here when she has the place all set up and accoutred? It is amazing. So, you know, another person that we acknowledge. There's going to be a group of people up here this morning singing. We call them the ensemble, or they call themselves the ensemble, and they do it for nothing out of the goodness of their hearts and voices and gifts and graces. We want to give them thanks. So we acknowledge all of those good persons helping. A word of greeting. This is from Jim Polliard. Hope you're doing well and the snow season is over. Jason, Smokey, and I are doing well, just getting older. We don't have any measurable snow this winter. We've had only 0.75 inches of moisture since January. Things are a little dry, even on the high desert, he says. But he sends his greetings, so we send greetings to him, and we send greetings to all of our online viewers and participants. And so we are a community that is different than we've ever had in our history, both here and virtually and connected in various ways. So we are grateful, and God is good. And all the time, God is good. Any other announcements for the good of the order? I don't see any. If not, let's stand and greet one another, and let's turn to our call to worship. Oh, I should let you know, Nalu Kalamani will be helping as liturgist this morning. We're grateful. Stan, say hello.
Peace of Christ.
This is June, isn't it?
June is busting out all over.
It is.
That's from Carousel, isn't it?
Please remain standing as we join together in this morning's call to worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus Christ, our Lord, invites to his table all who love him. Let us all earnestly repent of our sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Join me in giving thanks to God for all of the wonders of nature all around us at all times. This is indeed what the Lord has made. Please remain standing as we join together in singing hymn number 333, I'm Gonna Sing. Seated. This morning's first scripture reading is taken from the 139th Psalm, verses 1 through 6, and then skipping from verse 6, 13 to 18. Psalm 139, 1 through 6, 13 to 18. Listen for the word of the Lord. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them had yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. The word of the Lord. I'd invite the ensemble forward as we share in the special music, My King is a Servant.
Okay. Okay. She can go.
Thank you all. Thank you, Michael, for getting everything organized. And we turn to our prayer time. You see some of the prayers on the back of the bulletin as we lift some of the church family we've been praying for and ongoing in our ongoing prayers. Lucy and Neo are here, and we're glad that you are well and that you are mostly healed. We hear that you're doing better. Barbara Stevens is here doing better, and so we are thankful. We pause to lift the people impacted by hail. How many of you got impacted by hail in one way or another? There ought to be a joke in there somewhere, but I'm going to leave it lie. At any rate, we probably had minor inconvenience compared to others who, especially the farming community, for whom a hailstorm can be financially ruinous. So we want to be aware of those. Other prayers of concern this morning. Do you have other things that you would like to, that you need to lift to pray about? Debbie Gunther.
I'd like to prayers for my husband's great-granddaughter. She was at a bonfire, and there was an accident there. She's in the hospital with second and third degree burns. Then in the same family, another daughter had something wrong with her eye. She had laser surgery on Friday. So please pray for the Ellis family.
All right, the Ellis family burns and eye afflictions. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Other concerns that we lift this morning as we gather in. I don't see any others. We want to just pause and be aware of those worldly concerns. Wars continue and drumbeats of war continue and hostilities, and still the Middle East is in turmoil. And we need to pray there. I would lift violence that has occurred around our nation, but we have that before us. Let us not ever accept it as just normal in the way that things always are. Amen? Let's continue to pray for them. As students of the Prince of Peace, let us pray for that peace. By way of celebrations, I have the birthday list here, unless somebody wants to start and volunteer to begin with. Let me get my list squared away. Charlie Morrell's birthday is today. Darren Casper's birthday is on Wednesday the 5th. Lindsay Osterlund has a birthday on Saturday the 8th. And I have down here this pair of newlyweds named Larry and Ruella Contour. Is that true? Are you guys married? How many years, you guys?
48 years.
48 years. Amen. Happy anniversary. Your anniversary on Wednesday. You did remember, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Even wrote it on the calendar.
You got her covered. Over to your left, Michael, is this young woman. Carol Danielson is waving her hand.
My birthday was yesterday, 84.
I think we announced that last week, but just the same, happy birthday again. Yeah, yesterday you had a birthday, so did Joe Richards and Monroe and Ruth Mathias celebrated anniversaries. That's as far as I have on my list. It doesn't go much further than that. Siociana, is your hand up for announcement or no?
Yeah.
Okay, wait for the microphone, please. Just a second.
Oops.
Who was I
supposed
to? Good
morning, everyone. You guys probably announced it, but I just wanted to acknowledge our parents. Their birthdays was, Pastor Antonio's birthday was on the 22nd, and Lucy's birthday was on the 30th. So prayers of many more years. Thank you.
We are glad, and what a family. You got a pretty, you were blessed, amen? more than the sands or the stars in the sky, you can be grateful. Other celebrations, what other things do we have to celebrate? I don't see any other hands up and any other things that are right brimming on the front of us. If you have not driven around the church and just looked at all of the growing beautiful flowers, take a minute. We have been richly blessed, and our gardeners continue to tend to all of that, and it is the moisture. We are not in drought. A couple of different reservoirs are actually spilling water that have not for years, so it is a good thing. All in all, we're celebrating weather. Any other celebrations? If not, let's turn to our unison prayer. Let us read responsively. Be aware this is also our confession. As we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion, we gather in prayer, in confession, in repentance. Lord, we have failed you with our whole hearts. We have failed to be an obedient people. We have failed to love our neighbors as Jesus loved us. We have failed to do your will. We can't ask your forgiveness. As we come and gather, take this holy sacrament to your comfort. Everlasting Lord, because of your tender mercy toward your people, you came to us as Jesus, taking upon yourself our flesh to suffer death upon the cross, that we should follow the example of Christ's great humility. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of your patience. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In honestly repenting and asking forgiveness, we return to the path of faithful discipleship. In the name of God, you are forgiven. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silence and meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, we come before you acknowledging that you know all and see all. You know our prayers even before we ask. And we realize that in focusing our prayers, we are focusing ourselves to turn to you. All that is good has come from you, and we need to pause, Lord, and give you thanks, acknowledging the food on our tables, the roofs over our head, our gifts and graces, our prosperity of nation and place, our prosperity as your people. Lord, hear us as we come and offer our humble thanksgiving. We come before you, Lord, knowing that we have much to do in our growth for being the perfect disciples you call us to be. We turn aside from perfection, knowing that only Jesus could possibly make the perfect walk. And yet, you call us to move on to perfection, to move in that direction continually with our energy and our all of our gifts and graces, with the help of one another and helping one another. Guide us, Lord, to grow in our faithfulness, in our discipleship, in our faith. As we come before you, we lift prayers for all of those who are suffering and hurting. We lift those who have born in countries that are not as lucky as ours, those who live in nations where there is no prosperity and very little food, those who are suffering oppression. Let us be mindful of our neighbors, of those others, of the sojourners among us. Let us be mindful that out of our prosperity we can help others. Guide you, God, you guide us in these things, and we are grateful. Lord, we come before you. We come before you beginning this month of June, preparing for summer and celebrations, celebrating first and foremost with you in our lives, and gathering with you at table. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us. Thank you for your gifts to us. Hear us, Lord, as we come and as we gather and as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your gifts to the continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ, whether it be anywhere in the world or here in this place. We give you thanks for your offering. Hear this as Barbara lifts an offertory.
This morning's second scripture reading is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2, verses 23, and chapter 3 through 6. I would ask that you please rise for this morning's Gospel reading. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." The word of the Lord. Please remain standing as we join in our VBS video hymn, "You Forgive." I invite children of all ages forward to come and lead us in this hymn.
You take all the pieces of my life, put them back together, make it all.
Thank you, all your big kids and all your little kids. Yay. I'm glad we're staying safe, football helmets and stuff, you know. Boy, I'll tell you what. The world's getting absurd, isn't it? I mean, worrying about hummus fear in Canada. Hummus in the hammock, never mind. There are some absurd things in the world, I got to admit. We heard about some of them that it's not new. Here is the absurdity of the law under the Torah, Sadducees' law, saying you cannot do any work on the Sabbath. Can't work. And true Orthodox, severely religious devotees can't turn on and off light switches. You can't turn on the stove to cook. You can't do anything. They work around that. They put timers on the lights. And I guess, I don't know what they do about meals. I guess you eat cold or because you can't do any work. It's kind of a stretch because, I mean, standing up is work. Getting up, breathing, it's all work. But we're not going to go down that path too far, but they condemn anybody for picking grain on the Sabbath. And Jesus and his disciples were walking through a grain field, and they plucked the grain from the heads of the wheat. The Sadducees saw it. You're working. They're going to do healing. They test him. Are you going to heal this man with a withered hand on the Sabbath? I understand there was an exclusion. If someone was falling into a well, you could reach out and save them. Or if they've fallen into a well, you could extend to life-saving measures. I don't know any of those details. But a law taken to an extreme, and it was absurd, and Jesus knew it, and he called him on it. See, God doesn't stop being God on the Sabbath. Loving, healing God. He heals the man with the withered hand. That wasn't considered life-saving. And yet it was. Think a moment about someone who is handicapped in that way. Not only are they going to be unable to do some things physically, but they become outcasts from society, you see. If you had some sort of affliction, it was because you had sinned and God was punishing you, and so you were cast out of the community. You were unclean. Lepers were lepers because they could communicate diseases, but they were lepers because they were sinners because they had leprosy. So if you got sick, you were doubly cursed. It was the mindset of the time. It was absurd. God does not stop doing healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus helps reframe it. You see, the Sabbath is made for us, not us to serve the Sabbath. The Protestant work ethic says that you work and you work and you work from daylight to dusk. You work and you know, their idle hands are the devil's workshop and all of those different phrases. And the Sabbath says, take a day. Take a day and pause. Stop all of the busyness, all of the work, all the attempts to prove yourselves or to prove yourself to God or to earn or to do any of the reasons that you use to validate being a workaholic. And he says, pause. Not only you, but all those who work for you that you can call to work for you. Pause and listen to God. And pause and recognize how much God has done for you. When I was a kiddo, I vaguely have a memory of this. I would have been very young, but for some reason, Mom and us kids were flying. I believe my dad was going to school to get his teaching degree. And we were flying out to meet him and to drive back. I believe that's how that worked. But we went to get on the airplane, and we got on the airplane, and they put us in the very back. There was a row that went all the way across the back of the airplane, so we're all in the middle of the back of the airplane. And this has been a few years, so it was not a jet. I don't know the details, but we taxied out on the runway and we turned into position and stopped. And one of my sisters said, "Mom, why did he stop?" Well, I had grown up with family. We'd all get in the car, we'd all go places, and periodically, if we were traveling somewhere different, we would pull off the side of the road. Dad would dig out the street maps and the state map, and he'd figure out which routes and which roads. And sometimes he'd figure out shortcuts to get between places that only took twice as long. It's a family joke, but anyway, we're on the plane. The plane pulls up to a stop, and my sister says, "Why is he stopping?" And I popped up quickly, "He's checking his map." And the whole plane laughed. I didn't know why they laughed. I was quite sure I knew exactly what was happening. The wisdom of youth, eh? But it's okay to take a moment and pause and check your GPS with God. In fact, that's what Sabbath is about. It's a gift to us to be able to do that and to be able to pause. Today's sermon is about wound care. I don't know if any of you have had a wound that required long-term work to maintain it, to try and heal it, something that didn't resolve itself, and you've had to have wound care, but that's not what we're talking about, especially, although my sister, we grew up, you know, in the 60s, and bicycles were our mode of transportation everywhere, and we lived in rural places, and there were no asphalt. There were usually gravel roads, and my sisters and I, we all crashed our bicycles regularly, so, you know, road rash, scuffs, scrapes, we were a part of life, but found out years later, my older sister had married and had a kid or two, and she came in one day and she says, "The darndest thing happened." She said, "I was sitting there and my knee that has always bothered me since I was a kid, all of a sudden it festered up and a little pebble came out." She'd had a little rock that had gotten in there somehow, and years previous, didn't realize she had it in there, and that wound had continued to be, she couldn't kneel on that knee, you see, it was in the wrong spot and all that. And she was healed unexpectedly. It's a good thing. Her body expelled that pebble, and it was a good thing. Getting over wounds is a good thing. Did any of you go to school? There's a few of you that I believe didn't. I have memories of school. I have lots of memories, teachers, and many good memories, but I have some I have some painful memories too, being the one that wasn't chosen to play on this team, or the one that was excluded from that gathering, or the one that was an outcast, or the one that was put upon. And I have, over time, those early memories have faded, or I've become acclimatized to them so that they're not as important, but later in high school and college, I can remember some other things that happened, some occurrences that were wounds, if you will. I remember in high school, I was not one of the in crowds. There was the in crowd for sports, and I wasn't in that group. And of course, with the sports was all the cheerleaders and the gals and the pep squad and all of that, and I didn't really fit into that group. And there were the in crowd of the academics, the brainiacs, the Mensa. Isn't that the Mensa? Yeah. Why does that sound right to my on my tongue right now? Blech. Mensa, the brilliant ones, and I was not one of those. Although I didn't flunk out too badly in most cases, but I also wasn't the brilliant one. Had a few friends that were, but I just wasn't, and so I was never part of the in crowd. And sometimes those others would kind of pick on us who weren't. That ever happened to anybody else? There's some of that stratification that went on everyone. There were the golden kids, and they could do no wrong. And I I thought as I was writing this sermon about how growing up, going to school, we've all been wounded. No one gets through the journey without being wounded in some ways. And then my next thought was, what about some of these golden ones, these super achievers, those wonderfuls that seem to be in perfect spots? And I thought about it a lot, and I contemplated it, and a memory came to me. I had almost completely forgotten one. One day, I was a senior in high school, we were working on one of the plays in the auditorium. And next to us in the cafeteria, they were having a banquet, a sports banquet, and the athletes were receiving awards and cheerleading awards, and all of the perfect ones from that, the elite, were all in there. And we kind of looked over at it and realized we were not amongst that group, and that was neither here nor there. But then we were working away, and there was a pounding on the door. And we went and opened it, and one of the gals that was a part of that elite group, they had played a prank on her and locked her out. And she was standing there at the door weeping. I mean, she was dressed to the nines. She had obviously spent money on the hair. And she was standing there weeping because of this prank that her peers had played on her. Even they are wounded. Nobody gets through without being wounded. The second part of that woundedness is the people we have wounded. I didn't realize that. I was in middle school and we hanging out one summer, and a bunch of us, we had our bicycles chasing around Grand Valley, Colorado. They did not even have street signs in Grand Valley when I was growing up. Anyway, we're riding bikes around and we're just having fun and playing and telling jokes, and I think there were water balloons involved and what have you, but nothing too serious. But out of the blue, one of the kids got really mad at me, and he made some nasty hand gestures and cussed me and rode off on his bike. And I yelled at him. I said, What's the matter? What's going on? And I realized in all of our playing, we had been teasing each other and had been teasing him. And it had really impacted him. And I remember thinking, no, we were just having fun. We didn't mean it. You took it wrong. But I was the one who had helped be a part of wounding him. I'll never remember who it was. I'll never be able to apologize. So we carry around those memories of not only having been wounded, but of wounding others. Sometimes totally inadvertently. Ways that you wish you could take back that you can't now. It'd just make everything worse. So here we are. Wounded and wounders with regrets. And we're not whole if we carry all that around and allow it to weigh us down. Now, I'm not saying forget it or not remember it, or that the wounds won't be a part of us. That place on my sister's knee where the pebble came out, there's a scar there. It's okay. She can remember that, and she can remember what happened, but she can move on beyond it. Same is true with us. We can be aware of it. You heard the liturgy, and I did not take a moment to thank Nalu for being liturgist this morning. He had zero warning. He walked in this morning. I said, hey, would you be a liturgist, and would you lead the hymns? And bless you, brother. Stepped right up and did all of that. Last week was a short week. I'll blame it on that. I didn't get my jobs done. But in the liturgy this morning, you heard in our prayer time, it was our confession. We made our confession. We have failed to be your faithful people, Lord. And there's another confession that's a part of our worship every Sunday. Let's see. It goes, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's it. Any of you recognize that? It's in there somewhere, isn't it? And we say it routinely. We say it out of habit. Do we pause and hear it and live it? Trespasses, sins, omissions, transgressions, judgments, things we should have done, things we shouldn't have done. It was interesting to hear it in the song with the kids this morning. Sometimes there's things that I shouldn't do. But then you hear the chorus, "You forgive me." That was the psalm this morning. Did you hear it? "Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know me when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me." God is with us. And sometimes we think, well, I don't know if I want to confess this, or I'm kind of ashamed to even admit this happened. And God already knows. It is we who have to face and get back and get right with God. We have to allow that healing. We have to confess. And then we have to accept that last part. In the name of God, you are forgiven. And then you responded back. I heard it this morning. You said to me, "In the name of God, you are forgiven. Thank you." God is the one doing the forgiving. We need to acknowledge that. We hear that. We accept that, and we accept the healing that comes. Yes, we have all been wounded. Yes, we have probably all wounded someone else. That's in our past. It helps us be part of who we are. It may leave scars, but we move on in the name of God. And God calls us to move on and give it to God and be God's children. Let's remember, let's do that. Amen? Amen. Let's turn to communion. I ask Pastor Neo to join me as we prepare. If you're following along, we should be at the Great Thanksgiving in your hymnal or on the screen overhead. Michael, that sounds a little hot for me. Could you? I'm buzzing. There we go. Thank you. Let us read responsively. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, passed poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. We invite you to come forward. I invite our lay leaders to come assist in serving. And we invite you to come and partake.
Testing, there we got it back, all right. I hope that we were able to partake, receive the bread and the juice, receive the thanksgiving and God's blessing, amen? Stand, let's sing, Nalu, lead us.
Yes, please rise as we join in our closing hymn, number 2126, In the Faith We Sing, All Who Hunger.
Feasted at Christ's table, we've gathered, we have confessed, we've been forgiven. It is a glorious day. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Join hands. Let us sing our closing. Hey.